Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Garage Talk Live starts now. Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. You're listening to us on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. Hope everybody had a lovely Labor Day weekend. Time to get back to work for me and I guess a lot of other people. Hope everybody in Texas, after the hurricane, is doing better. Really nasty, the devastation. Hurricane Irma, now a Category 4, heading to Florida, so we'll have to see what happens there. A couple of different patterns there. It's either going to hit Florida. All you Florida people, take either bunker down or evacuate and go find some higher ground. Or the Carolina coast, Outer Banks area, usually the Atlantic hurricanes general targets. I'm here in the mountains of Virginia on the western side of the state, so might get some rain from it, maybe some wind, but maybe not. Or this plane can just veer a hard right and stay out in the ocean and not hit anybody, which we're all hoping for. I don't think we could use any more natural disasters in the southeast. I mean, in Florida, if that thing comes through, it's going to affect more than just Florida. It's probably going to hit Louisiana and Texas. And nothing against the people of Texas. They have a great state, but between tornadoes and hurricanes, I'll kind of stay where I'm at. A little bit inland and up on the hill. I saw the flooding down there, and it was nasty looking. 16-foot overpasses that were just about reaching, that were underwater just below the roadway line. So that's a lot of water, folks. Over 51 inches of rain over the course of that time. 4.5 feet. I mean, I see what it looks like when we get 2 inches of rain. Imagine that much. Anyway, a lot of racing activity over the weekend. ARCA in action. IndyCar at the Glen. ARCA out at DuCoin for one of their dirt track races at the DuCoin State Fair. So, NHRA at the Chevrolet USA Nationals at Indianapolis, their last race before their countdown. So, everybody that was going to lock into their countdown to the championship. The top 10 teams get to compete in that. NASCAR, all three series action in action. Camping World Truck Series north of the border at Canadian Tire Motors. Xfinity and Monster Energy at the track. Too Tough to Tame, the Lady of Black, Darlington Speedway. Truck Series has one more race, or their last race coming up will be for locking in the finish, locking in the playoffs. Same with Xfinity and Cup next weekend, Friday and Saturday night at Richmond for the night race there. They used to run two night races a year, and then they changed that up. My friend Amy Turner there, he's now with Salvation Army, so if you want to donate to anything, donate to the Salvation Army. We also have another charity in this area that usually heads out for all these disasters at the first sign of things, called God's Pit Crew. They're already in Texas. They have like 17. They have a load of tractor trailers there helping out. And so many to go around that are taking care of this. But anyway, let's start it off at DuCoin. We'll start at ARCA and work our way around to everything else. Austin Theriault, driver of the number 52 Ken Schrader Racing, takes the checkered flag. To be years ago, Kenny Schrader would be in that car. Sheldon Creed, number two, takes second. Gus Dean in third. Ryan Unzicker, fourth. Fifth was Brandon Grosso. Shane Lee, sixth. It's going to be a rough week. Your pole sitter, Will Kimmel, finished seventh. Dalton Sargent took the eighth spot. Joe Cooksey, ninth. And Tommy Hessert in the 25 for Venerini. Rounds out the top 10. 25 is also shared with Natalie Decker for Venturini, unless she's not in the car. ARCA Series, have to get back in touch with them. And that wraps up the dirt race at the DuCoin State Fair. NASCAR home tracks, K&N East, Dominique Van Wieringen, who's been on the show several times. Back in action in over a year. Came in third after qualifying 12th in the Durabyte Ford. Good to see her finish that good after not running for a while. She had been she's working for Joe Gibbs Racing, so she's back in the Ford, so I don't know how that's going to work. But it's good to see her back in the car and finishing in top three. One of the few ladies trying to make it in the sport. Of course, 14 cars started the field. Todd Gilliland in the Napa Auto Park Toyota started from the pole and won the race. Chase Purdy was second. Again, Dominique was third. Ronnie Bassett Jr. fourth. Colin Cabret might as well be the rest of the field. The race took 51 minutes, 12 seconds. Average speed, 69 miles an hour. That's in Langley, Virginia. Speedway in Eastern Virginia. Caution flags. Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4 for 15 laps. And your leaders are, there's four lead changes involving two drivers, so Dylan Bassett and Todd Gilliland swapped the lead a couple of times there. The next race for the K&N is New Jersey Motorsports Park. That'll be coming up. Let me get to the schedule. That's my old neighborhood, so I'll plug up that one. That'll be Skin From Now for the Just Drive 125. Matter of fact, I'll try to contact Dominique and see if she's headed up to the road course. In the Arca series, that was there. Sarah Cornett-Ching had the highest finishing position as a woman on a road course, I think, in Arca overall. So there's another one. She had suffered a concussion in a race last year and getting back driving the late models. Hopefully we'll see her back. Over to IndyCar. Grand Prix at the Glen. Alexander Rossi, driving for Andretti Autosport, started from the pole, took the checkered flag. Scotty Dixon was second. Ryan Hunter-Reay coming in the third spot. Elio Castroneves, the driver there, was fourth. Graham Rahal came home fifth. Will Power was sixth. Charlie Kimball, seventh. Eighth, Max Chilton. Ninth, Simone Pagino. Carlos Munoz. Race took an hour and 42 minutes. Average speed, 118.865. Margin of victory, less than a second. It's fairly close. Not as close as the race at Pocono for the IndyCars, which is probably the closest race I've seen of an IndyCar race. But the 0.95, just under a second. Cautions of four for nine laps, eight lead changes amongst six drivers. Your point standings, Joseph Newgarden has a three-point lead over Scotty Dixon. Elio Castroneves is next. Simone Pagino is fourth. Will Power is fifth. Alexander Rossi, sixth. Graham Rahal, seventh. Takuma Sato, your Indy 500 winner this year, is eighth. Tony Kanaan, ninth. And Ryan Hunter-Reay rounds out the top 10 in points. It comes down. It's a pretty close battle. Three-point difference between Newgarden and Dixon. That all comes into fruition at Sonoma Raceway in 2 weeks. We'll wrap up the Indy season. So the championship can go either way, either Scotty Dixon or Joseph Newgarden has a shot to take that. The only other one is Castroneves, and he is 22 points behind Newgarden. So that's doable. The point system in IndyCar is a little different, and many think of NASCAR had a little bad with 1 point, max points for the first place, and then whittling a point down. IndyCar is a little different than that. Plus, it's a smaller field at 21, so I like to put it between Newgarden and Dixon right now. Anything can happen, though, on a road course, but IndyCar drivers usually try to keep it clean. As a result with fear, only had four cautions for nine laps at the Glen. Sonoma would be, they're already usually pretty careful. They don't go four or five wide like they do in NASCAR and squeeze each other out. But anyway, on to the U.S. Nationals. This is the biggest race of the year for the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. Is the race, the event where everybody locks in to the countdown. they call it the countdown, there's six race lineup for their countdown starts in a little bit. We'll give you their schedule coming up shortly. I think it all kicks off at the Z-Max Dragway. Not four wide this time, only two. But anyway, in Top Fuel, number one qualifier, Clay Milliken. Then a hole shot in round one to number 16 qualifier, Kevin Kinsley, man from Texas. I mean, Kinsley, you think you would have a tough time, made it all the way to Sean Langdon in round two. And then Tony Schumacher in the semifinals to face Steve Torrence in the finals. Now, Steve Torrence, who's the number three qualifier, up against Ashley Sanford, who made her NHRA debut at Indianapolis in the Top Fuel division. Another young lady in Top Fuel. So so you had three with Ashley. Leah Pritchett, who was the number two qualifier. And Brittany Force was the number eight qualifier. Poor Ashley, believe it or not, had a pretty respectable run against Torrence at 378. Torrance is 373 with an 8, and his 055 off the light to her 072. Was able to move on facing defending champ Antron Brown. Antron by a hundredth of a second. Up against Leah Pritchett in the semifinals, she had some tire issues, and he was able to score a 376 with a 5. Leah's 117 starting reaction time in her 977 wasn't enough. I mean, when you get beat off the tree by more than double, you don't have a prayer. But Kevin Kinsley and Steve Torrence up against each other. Steve Torrence off the tree first with an 058. Kinsley 070, but Torrance was able to get better traction with a 375 with a 7 to Kinsley's 1082, giving Torrance the win. Best reaction time in the Top Fuel was Kinsley in round 1, 013. That's usually unheard of in a nitro car. Lowest ET of eliminations was Leah Pritchett, 371 with a 1 in the first round when she dispatched Wayne Newby, who started with her at 088 reaction, but posted no time because he broke. On to the funny car. Finals came down to Ronnie Capps and J.R. Todd. Capps looking for his first ever Indy win. J.R. Todd looking for a win in the funny car division. Matt Hagen was your number one qualifier. Went up against Jim Campbell. Ronnie Capps went up in round one against Alexis DeJoria. John Force up against Del Worsham. Jack Beckman against Tommy Johnson. Robert Height, number two qualifier, against Justin Schreifer. Johnny Lindbergh against Tim Wilkerson. Courtney Force against Cruz Pedregon, the cruiser. J.R. Todd up against number six qualifier against Brian Stewart. Well, John Force Racing didn't get past the second round with John Force losing to Worsham. Courtney losing the cruiser. Height made it to the second round against Tim Wilkerson. And Timmy getting the edge there. Robert Height with a 4-1, losing some traction. Tim Wilkerson, not that fast either, with a 3.94. When you're talking, well, they were running 3.9s pretty much the whole time, so that seemed to be the zone in. Wilkerson moves on to the semis against J.R. Todd. J.R. Todd up against Cruz Pedregon, and he moves to the, which gets him to the semis. Ronnie Capps up against Jim Campbell in round two, and then Fast Jack Beckman in round in the semis set up the final. Ronnie Capps with a 3.94 with a 9. J.R. Todd with a 3.92 with a 3. This is a flat-out drag race. They both reacted pretty much dead even. 0.57 for Capps, 0.54 for Todd. Todd takes home the Wally in the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Tee of the day was Robert Height with a 3.86 with a 7. And Alex DeJoria with the top speed, 3.31.94. Best reaction time was your winner with an 0.46. On to pro stock. Final came down to Drew Skillman and Greg Anderson. Looking for our pal Erica. Lost to Chris McGahey in round one. Skillman took beat Jeg Coughlin in round one. Erica's teammates, was a bad day for Elite Motorsports. Skillman and McGahey in round two, and then up against Tanner Gray in the semis. On the other ladder, Greg Anderson dispatched Kenny Delco, number 16 qualifier in round one. Teammate Jason Lyon in round two, and then Alex Laughlin in round three, who was looking to become a winner in two divisions, but it wasn't the case. Bo Butner, who had some success, beat Vincent Nobile in round one, the other elite driver, and then lost to Alex Laughlin by red lighting. It set the stage for the Alex, for the Laughlin Anderson, Gray Skillman. Skillman up against Anderson. Skillman wins with a 0.22 off the tree and a 6.67. Anderson 0.50 off the tree with a 6.666. So Skillman with the hole shot takes the U.S. National win. And this is, we'll go to the standings for the top three divisions. Antron Brown locking in the number one spot. Steve Tarn, second. Leah Pritchett holds on to third. Tony Schumacher, fourth. Brittany Force is fifth in the seeding. Doug Kalita, sixth. Clay Milliken, seventh. Terry McMillan, eighth. Scott Palmer and Troy Coughlin round fuel division going into the first round of the countdown. Things change after that, but as it is right now, on to the funny car. Here's your setup. We have Ronnie Capps, Robert Height, Matt Hagen, Tommy Johnson Jr., Jack Beckman, and Courtney Force. Here's your top six. John Force, Tim Wilkerson, J.R. Todd, and Alexis DeJoria are the rest. There's your championship contenders in funny car in pro stock. Bo Butner is your top seed. Tanner Gray, Greg Anderson, Jason Lyon, Drew Skillman, Erica Enders, Jeg Coughlin, and Vincent Nobile. Alan Johnson, and rounding out the top 10, Chris McGahey. So there are your top three mellow yellow NHRA drag racing divisions that they set up for the countdown to the championship. And the pro stock motorcycle, we'll give you that one too. L.E. Tonglet, Eddie Krawick. Eddie Krawick, who actually won Indianapolis. yesterday because they ran on Monday. That's why I didn't try to book any guests for today because they're probably traveling out of there. Jerry Savoie, Hector Arana Jr., Matt Smith, Andrew Hines, Scotty Polachek, Joey Gladstone, Karen Stouffer, and Angie Smith, two ladies in the top 10. The next one up will be the first race of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series Countdown. Said it opens up at Z-Manx Dragway. It'll be next week, not this weekend, the weekend of the 15th through 17th, with qualifying on Friday and Saturday, final elimination Sunday. And then up to Maple Grove Raceway the week after that, which is up in Reading, or technically Monson, Pennsylvania. They call it Reading. Then out to Gateway Motorsports Park the following week. October will be two events there, one in Texas at Texas Motorplex in Ennis, and the Strip in Las Vegas around Halloween. And the Auto Club NHRA Finals out in Pomona, which qualifying kicks off on the 9th of November, my birthday. So hopefully I can get some drivers on that one, being it is my birthday. And events till their championship season. Let's go north of the border now to the Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, where the Truck Series in action. Austin Cindric battling it out with Chaz Gralla. We're talking the number one, the pole sitter and the number three qualifier. Battling it out till the end there. And last lap out of the 64 run on the Canadian road course there, on lap 53, actually, was the last caution. It was more of a spin and win, and actually didn't draw a yellow out, so that wasn't the last caution. With a couple laps to go, Austin Cindric ran into the back end of Chaz Gralla, who was leading. Spun him out of the way. He didn't wreck, but he was able to recover. And Austin Cindric, who needed the win to make it into the countdown, went on to victory. Noah Gragson, who was running third at the time, also got around Gralla as Gralla recovered. Came home second, and the aforementioned Chaz Gralla, who does have a win in the series, he took the win at Daytona because he was already in the count in the playoffs. Cindric needed the win, and Gralla wound up third. Justin Haley fourth, Ryan Truex fifth, Johnny Sauter sixth, Chase Briscoe seventh, Parker Kligerman eighth, Austin Wayne Self ninth, and Ben Rhodes rounds out the top 10. Austin Cindric driving the number 19 for Brad Keselowski Racing. Mentioned that team would not be in action next year, so he wanted to get a win for Brad. The race took an hour 54 minutes, average speed 82 mile an hour. Margin of victory 3.48 seconds. Your stage winners was Cindric, stage one, and Ryan Truex in the 16 for stage two, Marty's younger brother. So there were five caution flags for 14 laps, five lead changes amongst five drivers. Your leaders were Cindric, Gralla, Truex, Kligerman, and Rhodes. Cindric led the most laps, two times for 32, including the final one. It was Cindric's first victory in 21 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series starts, and his ninth top 10 in 2017. Cindric was also the highest finishing rookie. Of course, your top four were rookies: Cindric, Gregson, Gralla, and Justin Haley. So that's another. Usually, they have the top finishing rookie in the press conference after the top finishing rookie, the winner. So I guess they combine the two into one. Let's see if we can hear from our winner. Go here is here we go.
We're now joined by our winning team of the 5th Annual Chevrolet Silverado 250 at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park. Driver of the number 19, Draw Tight, Reese Ford, Austin Cindric. Austin, you were up here yesterday celebrating your birthday with the pole. Now you're up here today celebrating a playoff.
An incredible week for this 19 team. Unload fast right away, not really have to do too much to start experimenting right off the bat. So I got to thank them for giving me the peace to be able to do that. And obviously, everyone's seen this race. Everyone's seen how it plays out at the end. I'm not sure there was one highlight reel that I didn't see during the week that was somebody getting in the back of somebody to win the race. I hate for it to come down to that. I think it made an easy decision since Taz already had a win to make it in the playoffs. So for us, it gives us brighter light down at the end of the tunnel and hopefully start to chase after for the rest of the year because we're in the playoffs, we're contending for the championship, and hopefully we can ride it out and make some happen.
We're also joined by the crew chief for the number 19, Doug Randolph. Doug, can you walk us through the truck you provided to Austin this weekend and the race strategy today?
Well, it's a new, brand new truck. All the guys at BKR really focused on this race, built a new truck. It was good right off the bat. So, you know, hats off to all the guys at the job, everybody that worked on this thing. And in race strategy today, everything was going to play out normal. We failed to do our job on the pit stop. We didn't execute very well. And, you know, racing team sports, sometimes pick crew bails us out. Sometimes I make a good pick call. They often put us on the back.
And then finally, we're also joined by
Strong and contend for championship. And the truck that the guys put together and the drive that Austin put together today is reinforcing that. Huge for us as an organization. Couldn't be more proud of the fight that everyone showed today. And
there you have the race winner and crew chief. On to Darlington. The Xfinity Series kicked off the event on Saturday. Throwback weekend. Denny Hamlin. Well, that's for the Cup Series, but I think everybody threw in on that. Took home the win starting from the pole. Joey Logano in the second spot. Kevin Harvick third. Eric Jones in the number 20. He finished fourth. William Byron fifth. Cup guys, Brendan Poole sixth. Ty Dillon seventh. Justin Allgaier eighth. Cole Custer ninth. And Austin Dillon round out the 10th spot. Just trying to get some seat time practice for the Lady in Black. This way, those racing in the Southern 500 on Sunday night, that's right, under the lights. It was a good race, too. We'll get to that in a minute. Would get over there as well. Let me go right back to the Truck Series real quick with one more race before the playoffs. Christopher Bell is in the top seed. John Hunter Nemechek, two wins, is second. Johnny Sauter is third with one win. Matt Crafton the same. One at Eldora on the dirt. Fourth, but it counts. Austin Cindric with the win yesterday puts him fifth. Taz Gralla sixth. And then your non-winners in the top eight: Chase Briscoe and Ben Rhodes. World Truck Series. We'll kick off in 2 weeks at Chicagoland for the last race before their playoffs. That leaves them with 7 races to go, kicking off at Loudoun, then Vegas, then Talladega for round one of the elimination, then Martinsville, Texas, and Phoenix for their second elimination, and that leaves the final 4 for Homestead, Miami, 17th of November. So, see what happens next week. Who finally locks in? See if we can get a read on that with your seating. We'll wrap it all up for you. Denny Hamlin takes the win again. The average speed of the race was 108.25 miles an hour. Pretty close race with a margin of victory of 185.185. Less than 0.2 of a second. Hamlin with the win, his 17th Xfinity Series victory. 9 cautions for 33 laps. Everybody getting their Darlington stripes in. 11 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. We have the Denny Hamlin after taking the win on Saturday. And here's what he had to say.
Alrighty, we'll get started here with our post-race media availabilities for the 35th annual Sport Clips Haircut VFW 200 here at Darlington Raceway. We're now joined by race winner Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 18 Sport Clips Toyota, crew chief Eric Phillips, and Steve D'Souza with Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny, can you talk about your finish and your win out there today?
Yeah, it was an eventful day. You know, we didn't had the best car there at the beginning. It was very, you know, faster, short run, and then definitely trended the rear side. And so once we got that worked out, we had one, you know, mediocre pit stop there, and we lost some positions, and we battled back from that, got to the top 2 or 3, and that was important to set the guys up for a good stop there at the end. And, you know, from that point on, we had a good restart. We were able to split the 41 and someone else, I think it was maybe the 20, on the second to last restart, get the second. The wreck happened, and then it was all about getting a good restart on the final one. I thought once we cleared him, we would be able to kind of check out, but he got through 1 and 2 really good, was right on us, and down there. And I thought that you know, the best option for me was to run high through 3 and 4, and you know, my key was to drive in as far as I could. You know, let him drive in that far to get position, and then, you know, kind of hit the brakes and go in the inside and switch him over. So it worked out well. Glad we were able to clear him off of 4, else it really could have got exciting. But overall, proud of the whole team for giving us the car that we were capable of winning with.
Eric, you guys had a lot of speed all weekend. Can you just talk about the win here today?
Yeah, had a really good team race all weekend. Kind of over-adjusted on it yesterday. Started out way too free there, and we had to work on it. I think we turned information, and we got it right at the end and had a shot to win.
There's Denny Hamlin and his crew chief for Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series post-race interview. In the main event of the weekend, the Bojangles Southern 500. We'll get into that in a little bit, but first let's give you the rundown of the Xfinity Series championship look, standings, how it looks with the seeding. We're not going with the overall points because that doesn't come into effect till later. With the large number of Cup Series guys winning, only 4 guys have race wins. William Byron is one of those. He has 3 wins. He's your top seed. Justin Allgaier is second. Ryan Reed is third. And most recent winner, Jeremy Clements, won on the road in at Road America in Wisconsin makes the playoffs, where chances are he might not have had that shot. He was a single car team, but he was in the right place at the right time. Now, as far as points go, Elliott Sadler is the first one with no wins. In the fifth spot, we go 12 here for the playoffs. Poole is next. Daniel Hemric is after that. Cole Custer, Matt Tift, Blake Cook, William Annette, and Brendan Gaughan are your top 12 playoff contenders. On a sidebar, Daniel Suarez lost his Subway sponsorship because him and NBC's Rutledge Wood were cruising around on the segment giving away donuts, and they were Dunkin' Donuts, so they weren't a sponsor, even though we should have put them in a bag without any markings on it, but I'm sure Dunkin' Donuts must have paid NBC. So, but Subway pulling out of that, so Joe Gibbs Racing losing some of that sponsorship dollars for the number 19 car. This turned out to be a segment on the pre-race stuff. And sponsors being touchy with products. Maybe if Dunkin' Donuts had sponsored Suarez, or maybe the Subway might not have said anything because, hey, they sponsor. Then they, you know, because Joe Gibbs doesn't have one sponsor per car. They might have had it for that event, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think it was kind of silly just to pull it out, pull your sponsorship because somebody's handing out donuts for a TV segment. But maybe Dunkin' Donuts could pick up the slack, and you'll see the pink car with the donuts on the hood. And October's coming on. At least in October, you'll have breast cancer awareness, and everybody's going to have pink on their vehicles in support, so maybe Dunkin' Donuts with their pink colors anyway, their pink and white, could pick up a Suarez there and make it a worthwhile cause. The next race for the Xfinity Series is this Friday night, September 8th, the Virginia 529 College Savings 250, which is a program to where you could put money away for college, kicks off on 7:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Net. On to the Cup side. Probably didn't think it was going to happen, but Denny Hamlin sweeps the weekend. Yes, that's right. He took both races at the track. He started ninth, finished first. He was a little late with tires. He was shagging down Martin Truex, who was leading at the time. But Truex had older tires. He scuffed the wall, and then a little later his tire went down with a few laps to go. And cut that tire and had to go to the pits. Denny Hamlin, who wasn't sure if he was going to make it. He was a ways back because he had missed pit road earlier in the race, and you lose a lot of time there, then he's not the only one to do it, but he was able to get that back and come home for the win, taking both the Xfinity Series and the Cup race at Darlington. It was a long night. Second place, Kyle Busch. Kurt Busch finishing third with the Busch brothers there. Now, just because Denny swept two races, Kyle has the record. He's probably swept more weekends than you can count, including three races at Bristol twice, including this past year. But it was throwback. Denny Hamlin with a throwback to a Ray Henderson modified that he used to watch, or late model that he used to watch at Southside Raceway, which is down near me here in Virginia. Kyle Busch there, Kurt Busch. Austin Dillon finished fourth with the American Ethanol Chevrolet done up in the Wrangler colors from Dale Sr. years ago. Pretty good wrench car. Eric Jones coming home fifth, another good run for him. This boy is going, when he goes to the 20, it should be interesting. Let's see where how he runs in that car. Matt Kenseth in the sixth spot. Ryan Newman in a blue and yellow Dale Earnhardt Wrangler color scheme. In seventh, Martin Truex Jr., relegated to eighth after the wreck. Kevin Harvick, who started on the pole for the weekend, ninth, rounding out the top 10, Jamie McMurray. There were eight cautions for 38 laps, 20 lead changes amongst eight drivers. So it was a pretty exciting race. Your leaders were Hamlin four times for 124 laps. Kyle Larson led three times for the same amount of laps, so nobody dominated the laps led. Martin Truex Jr. was third. He had 76 laps led. Then came Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Landon Cassill once for five laps, and then Brad Keselowski. So Denny Hamlin with the win was chasing down Truex, but he might have passed him with a couple to go, but the wall kind of helped him out with Truex cutting the tire. But again, the one Darlington stripe, one was enough to put the rear fender into the tire, which cut down and sent him into the wall a second time and gave Hamlin the win. So here's Denny talking about his win. Yes, Sunday night.
With our interview post race of the third, and we've now been joined by our race team owner, Joe Gibbs, and our race winning crew chief, Mike Wheeler, also better known to the NASCAR Garage as Wheels. So we'll just start tonight just talking a little bit about that race. Obviously, an incredible battle there at the end. Denny taking the win, as he mentioned, was able to win here yesterday in the Xfinity race, which I know probably gave him a lot of momentum going into today. But Coach, we'll start with you. Just talk a little bit about what it means to bring home another Southern 500 win, but then also just kind of how this sets you guys up for a great spot heading into the playoffs in just a few weeks.
Yeah, I think coming to Darlington, you can see it in everybody that races here. It's one of those places that has history. It's one of the hardest places we race to get a win. The crowd tonight I thought was great. And so it's a thrill for us coming here. I think Denny is, I think back to story when JD first met him and put him in that very first test, part of the second race we put him in, JD said, let's put him at Darlington in an Xfinity car. And Denny had never seen the place. And he came over here and finished ninth. And JD said, I think we need to sign this guy. And I said, I think you're right. And kind of the rest is history. But I think it's a great story. Denny, I think you can tell when he goes to certain racetracks, too, he's got some favorites in there that he's awful good at, and I think this is one of them.
And, Will, for you, just talk a little bit about, from your vantage point on the pit box, you know, kind of how the race played out and ultimately, you know, that last run there for Denny. He was catching Martin even before Martin leaves. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, what that was like from your seat, and also just as we get closer to the playoffs, you know, how this team is just gaining momentum and really prepping for those final 10 races.
The race played out very fortunate for us. We didn't really struggle too much. We ran top five all night. The guys did a really good job on pit row. We were doing well. I'm proud of, you know, the fact that we had good speed and Denny was able to run up front. I was getting a little nervous at 78, looked a little faster. So we wanted to just kind of keep battling and then try to get him at the end. Then it came to the strategy. Tried to make sure we made not the wrong call. So we were doing our numbers, and I seen everybody else sitting, and you know, ultimately just made sure try to give our driver the best chance to win, even though it might not work in our favor. I didn't think once he missed pit road, we had a great chance anymore. I knew we gave up 10 seconds on the leaders, and you know, ultimately, I was trying to coach him to get mad and get even with everyone else. I knew it was hard to make up 10 seconds over one stint. But I'm proud of the fact that, you know, the car was that fast. Denny's obviously a wheel man here. If you don't win here with Denny, you probably didn't have a good enough car. So seeing him come from 10 seconds back in one stint, I was really happy with that effort, and I knew we probably had the best car.
All right. We'll go ahead and take questions. Coach or Wheels, if you have one, please raise your name.
Just Denny hasn't made it into the media center yet. That's where Diligence and sitting there at the track by myself. I can get the thing and edit it down and play what I needed to play to begin with. But anyway, let's take a look at the playoff picture. Denny Hamlin with the win, his second of the year. So that moves him up the seeding ladder. Right now, Martin Truex, who just fell shy of his fifth win of the year, maintains the top spot. Matter of fact, your stage winners of the race were Martin Truex won stage one and stage two. So there's a couple of more playoff points for him. As he has 37 overall. So if the seeding comes down to it, we're going to Richmond next week for the final chance to lock in. That leaves three guys on the bottom. Change at any time. Like I said, with the top 16 finishing, your winners as they are now, Truex with 4, Kyle Larson with 3, Jimmy Johnson with 3, and then you have Kyle Busch with 2, Hamlin with 2 now, and points-wise moves him ahead of Brad Kay. Who's right below him, and then with 2, and then Ricky Stenhouse with 2. Kevin Harvick with 1. Ryan Blaney with 1. Kurt Busch with 1. Ryan Newman with 1. Tim Dillon with 1. And Casey Kane with 1. Your 3 non-winners are Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, and Jamie McMurray. The only one that has a win that is not in the points picture and definitely needs a win to make it is Joey Logano, because due to an incident that happened at Richmond this year where his car was deemed illegal, that race basically did not count in the playoff picture, and it would have changed the dynamic of the playoffs, because he would have been in there with a win. But as it stands now, he's on the outside looking in. Right now he's in 15th overall behind Eric Jones, and being Kurt Busch is up there, he still has a few points away from Elliott, Kenseth, and McMurray, who are basically listed in 7th, 8th, and 9th in overall points. Logano is over 100 points. There's 129 points behind Jamie McMurray, who sits in your last spot. So technically, he has no shot points-wise to catch Jamie McMurray, Matt Kenseth, or Chase Elliott in one race. Now, like I said earlier this year, we're going to look at Richmond. Your top 2 finishers were Joey Logano. Brad Keselowski's teammate was 2nd. The Commonwealth kid who won the past 2 races was 3rd. Stenhouse. So you have Ford, Toyota, Ford, Harvick, Ford, McMurray, Chevy. Newman, Kurt Busch, Almirola, and Truex. They're your top 10 right there. this year. So this was a day race. We're going to a night race. Now, your playoff series last year, as I'm looking at this to base my pick, Hamlin, Larson, Truex, and Keselowski. Joey Logano started 12th, finished 10th, didn't lead any laps. So I don't know if Joey can get it done. But right now I'm looking at either Truex, Keselowski, or Hamlin. And with Hamlin winning two, I don't think he's going to get it, even though this is going to his home track. I might have to go with the two. The two all done up this weekend as the Miller Genuine Draft car that Rusty Wallace used to drive back in the day at Darlington. I think he might have the best shot at doing this. He led 110 laps. The only one who led more was Kenseth with 164 and led, started from the pole, but wound up in the 23rd spot. So there must have been a pit road strategy mistake there. Maybe a gas mileage run that didn't pan out. So you've got to count Kenseth in there. I forgot to look down that far to see who led. Let me go back to last year and see where Kenseth was. Not in the top 10. I guess I'm going to have to go with the hot hand. I think Truex might turn it around. So we'll give it to Martin Truex. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show today. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. We'll see you next week. Everybody that has to deal with Irma, stay safe. Stay dry, and we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince. Good day and good racing. Bye now.